Thad Jones with a little number he called Count One. Thad Jones, the younger brother of Hank Jones, the older brother of Elvin Jones, who was self-taught on trumpet, cornet, and flugelhorn, and who we just heard from his 1957 album, After Hours. He died of cancer on August the 21st, 1986, in Copenhagen, Denmark. But the brothers, the Jones brothers, are legends in jazz history. And it's always good to reach back a little bit and hear what they sounded like in their heyday. This one, as I said, is from 1957. Thad Jones is on trumpet, Kenny Burrell on guitar, Paul Chambers on bass, Arthur Taylor on drums, Frank West on flute, and Mal Waldron on piano. The more I go back to the old tunes, the more I appreciate the mastery of so many musicians and artists, and what they gave up, literally their lives, for the sake of their art. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we'll talk about a couple of things that I need to get off my chest today. And let's see. Well, she's being celebrated for having done a really nice piece of legal work. That is New York State Attorney General Letitia James. And she has reason to be very proud of herself. After all, she got three big pharma types, companies, to agree to a massive $1.1 billion settlement. We've talked about this all those months ago, about when she was approaching this idea of getting these three companies, McKesson Corp, Cardinal Health Inc., and AmerisourceBergen Drug Corp, to throw some money in the till. And that was supposed to make up for the excruciating suffering and damage that had been done, not to mention the crimes themselves, in the till, as a way of basically stating, this is our act of contrition. We agree that we haven't done the right thing because we got so many people addicted to opioids in the state, the New York State, tri-state area. And she had just gotten into office. She needed something to boast about. And this was one of the things that they could boast about. But there was always, you know, underneath, there was a whole other story being told, except it was not being told. And that story is Letitia James, who came in as a fighter, who was going to go up against the big pharma companies, made it appear that she gave them a gift. With the three companies agreeing, okay, we will throw some money in a kettle. We throw some money in a kettle, and that money could be used to abate the continuing opioid problem. And she is enthusiastic about it because she's showing the world what a black woman can do. Of course, it's all theater. Because there are a couple of things that should be kept in mind here. While these companies were doing this, more than 500,000 people were killed by opioids in the tri-state area. Not exactly a win-win situation, is it now? Secondly, and most importantly, I wonder if you can tell us, it's the biggest omission that I've seen in years. They're all talking about this deal, quote unquote, a deal that Letitia James has worked out. She snagged these companies and she forced them to come up with $1.1 billion. Could you kind of see where the joke is here? A cruel joke? What is a joke? Call in fast at 888-874-4888. You tell me if you spot the joke, if this is really a joke. And in a sardonic way, sarcastic way, it is a big joke. And she ought to be ashamed of herself. Did you spot the joke here? Have you spotted the joke? Yes, the Attorney General of the State of New York has compelled these producers of opioids to come up with some money. And that money is supposed to go to help people who are addicted to their drugs. But there's a really sad, very unfunny joke. Did you spot it? 888-874-4888. I need an answer in a hurry. I'm in a hurry for your answer today. It is staring you right in the face. It is laughing at us. What could that joke be? This incredible joke. Ed from Queens, tell us what the joke is.
Hey, how you doing, Utrice?
Good. How about you?
You know, me and the phone still here, still hanging. Even though it's rough, it's rough. We had talked about this before.
Tell us what this joke is.
Yeah. You had talked about this before on your show a couple of months ago, I believe, earlier this summer. And
yes.
I believe I pointed out the fact that this was cost effective for them. I mean, my personal belief is they also have been brought up on criminal charges because
amen. That's the cruel joke.
Yeah.
So now we have this black woman who prefers to have us know that she has forced an agreement among the three largest producers of opioids that killed, at the very time she was so-called negotiating, more than 500,000 people were killed by their drugs. And you know where they come from.
Yes.
They come from black and brown communities, mostly.
Yeah, well, predominantly the opioid, it was largely low-income whites up in the upstate New York area. But the criminal, unfortunately, the criminal side of it, the black market side was to black and Latino communities, specifically young people, because the drug OxyContin, when combined with other substances, some like methamphetamine or ecstasy, intensified the effects. So it was largely a club drug and passed around on the legal side, if you want to call it legal. it was prescribed. But and another thing that a lot of people don't realize is all of these pharmaceutical companies, Purdue Pharma, the family that was involved in this, they all knew the effect. They all knew the habitual properties of this drug. They all knew that it had a 99% rate. It was worse than crack cocaine. And Letitia James allowed them to escape criminal prosecution and to pay a debt, which in the cost analysis, based on sales, based on marketing, based on profit and returns, it might have been cost effective if you look at it in the big picture. They pay a little to get away with everything.
That's the end of the program today. All the questions have just been answered. Do you understand? All of the questions were just answered. And this is the kind of bad politics that we are subjected to and have to live with. Here's this black woman. You know, you won the seat. Now let's see you in action. Let's see you right some wrongs here. Let's see you call to account all these, at least these three big ones, for getting people addicted and looking more for profits than anything else, even if it costs the lives, more than 500,000 lives in New York City, in the New York City area alone. And now she is boasting. She wants us all to know how proficient she is as a prosecutor. She got them to put $1.1 billion in a pot and drug treatment programs are going to be funded out of that. What are we, stupid?
She's the comptroller class. She's what is spoken of by UEP Newton and Eldridge Cleaver, Adriana Brown. She's the comptroller class. She's the representative. See the young, dynamic black woman politician slash attorney take these big corporations to task. I mean, you know, to me, they're no different than the corner drug dealer. And if you can put them in jail, put them in jail. Let them sit in Clinton Hill, Santa Mora. Let them sit in Greenhaven for 8 1/3 to 25.
Well, you nailed it. There. You nailed it, and you had a good memory, and you retained the information that we had shared before. This is a very major insult. Insult. Yes. And she ought to pay the price for it.
Well, we shall see.
Because she's telling us, look at how much money I got out of it. And yes. And that is supposed to wipe the slate clean. What about the 500,000 plus people dying as a result of the drugs manufactured and distributed by these gangsters? And nobody goes to jail.
Blood money. They wash away their sins with dollars, and lives are not valuable in that respect, as far as I'm concerned. We need to hold all our officials elected, appointed to a higher standard. If the faces were not, or if the races were different, I guarantee you them people would be sitting in jail till the sun burns up.
Thank you, Ed, for calling in and getting us started the right way today. This thing just got me over the weekend. Why is this great news? Why is she looked at as a hero? No accountability for the consequences of these drug companies' actions. And you are the Attorney General of the state. So many subpoenas should have flown out of her office. They probably should have lost count if they did that, but they didn't. And she sold out. And what she intends to do is to sell her success as a prosecutor for another term at public office. Look what I did. You haven't done anything. You have sold out your community. And you ought to be remembered for that. You didn't have the guts. And it was a perfect case. It should have become the great example for replication all across the United States. Because it is the same result that we saw all over the United States. These big drug companies getting these communities of color hooked on their product. But she is telling us, that's not the story. The story is, I got them to put $1.1 billion in the pot. That is enough. That is enough punishment for them. That's a big haul. And this is why we have to be so careful about the people that we elect to office. People are thinking, oh, first time a black woman, and she's a litigator, and she is a great prosecutor, she'd be great. Look what she did. In your face. We should never, ever forget this. This is an unforgivable crime. She walks away touting her credentials as a person who can extract the most money from these corporations, and they're laughing. They'll make that money back in no time at all. But she has no conscience about the more than 500,000 people, most of them people of color, that these companies entrapped in a life of drug addiction, serious drug addiction, and then by extension, what they had to do or what they felt they needed to do to support their habits, which is commit crimes, and mostly right in the neighborhoods where they lived. Pathetic. Pathetic, Letitia James. You are not to be admired. Okay, so in Haiti, we have this 400 Mawozo gang, which, like most all the other gangs existing in Haiti at this time, has carved out its area of control and is controlling it, and had kidnapped 17 people who were said to be missionaries and were holding them as hostages and demanding $1 million apiece to let them go. Well, the money hasn't materialized, but that doesn't mean that the problem has gone away. It's still there. In fact, the gang has said time is running out, and they will have no problem executing the 17 people, including 16 Americans and a Canadian who were said to be engaged in missionary work in Haiti, that they will all be executed. Well, with time running out, things will become more and more desperate. And people will act out of that desperation. What do you see? Look at the situation. Haiti has just come through a number of national crises, not least of which was the assassination of the president and the intended assassination, she almost died, of his wife. And then we had natural disasters, earthquakes, and we had people dying as a result of that. And you had the ongoing disaster of poverty, rampant, unchecked poverty. Where do you place Haiti now? What is it going to do? What can it do? What do you see as inevitable for Haiti in the immediate future? 888-874-4888. Tell me what you're seeing. What are we looking at there? If you had to resolve the situation, if you could do anything to make it go away, what would that be? Will it in fact go away? Is this nearing the end of reason in this country of Haiti? 888-874-4888. Let's try Wayne from Brooklyn.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay, great day, Lou, you, Therese, and for your program as usual. Top class.
Our program.
Oh, correct. Our program.
Okay.
Now, first, I want to object to you accusing our Attorney General of doing what? Selling out? How dare you, Utrecht? Come on.
No, you know we're laughing because we know it's true. It is true.
No, I look at the records, Utrecht. Look at the record. Look at how she grabbed Cuomo by the... and gave him a pass right out of the office. We seem to forget that she was part of the Cuomo team, I guess maybe still a part of it. And that, how they call it, sugar-coated deal that he got to resign rather than face charges. So all he got was a vacation. In 2 years or less than 2 years, he's back in politics and up to his old tricks again. But anyway, that is our AG. So to let the companies off like this is just part of doing business, I guess.
Yes, but I'm saying, could we break the pattern and just this once impose a heavy price for making this mistake again? Couldn't we just do this once and say, we've had it? I want to ask you to address yourself to the question now. In Haiti,
yes.
What is in store for Haiti?
Until we black people in this region get together, Haiti will be in the dumps for a long, long time. The things that are never discussed about Haiti is the richness of Haiti. And as long as that is kept out the front burner, they're going to be robbed. The country going to be robbed, and whatever is happening will continue because this allowed the robbers to do what they're doing. And this is billions of dollars per month they're squeezing out of Haiti, like we said, for the gold, for the oil, and for the iridium. More so for the iridium. But that is never mentioned. Now, as long as they keep picking these things, now, the kidnapping of these people in Haiti, we read so much stories about the roles of these, call them Christianized people, ambassadors for whatever churches coming and taking the children, have them in child trafficking rings and doing these kind of things. This is recorded. This isn't accusations that people just make up about them. The last guy to do it, he was held in Haiti, came back here, I think, and he committed suicide rather than face charges. But this is how they go. So even though they kidnapped this group, I know that I don't have all the facts together, but I tend to believe that these people, regardless of the smiles on the face, all involved in the same trade. So.
Well, wait a minute. That is quite a condemnation.
I know it is, but we look at what's happening in Haiti from all perspectives and ask yourself, what are these religious ambassadors doing to improve stuff? Nothing. As we say back home, well,
they have missions. They are supposedly living according to the word of God. They are bringing help, and that's what they say they're doing. They're bringing help. They're improving the conditions of life. They're building schools and a little bit of housing. So some are trying to do things that we typically associate with missionaries.
They're trying. Well, I like that choice of words. Because, all right, go back from the earthquake and all the monies that were collected that never got to Haiti. Somebody was trying very much harder to help Haiti by helping the self first. So this continuation of these groups, and this is what they've been doing for years. And it's not only in Haiti. You look.
But even so, let's say you're right. Let's give you 100%. You're absolutely right. Does that give these gangs the right to do what they're doing? Aren't they doing even worse?
No, they're not. They are not. They are protecting it from the next group who want to come. You remember, just now, let me take you off track a bit. You remember this thing in Eritrea, when they had these... They had a big movie about it, the English captain whose ship was hijacked, and they made him a hero, and they made these guys the rebels, when all they were doing was trying to defend their fishing areas where uranium was being dumped, all the fish were being killed out, all the sea life in that matter was killed out, and we end up with the drought and stuff that we have today. These guys were defending their interests. They were turned into villains.
Yes, but that was a repeat. Eritrea. I'm talking about Haiti. And a bunch of guys who have appointed themselves as the owners of towns and villages and are prepared for the utmost violence against those very people that they say they're protecting. And they are focused on $17 million.
Which is a small figure. But who said that they focus on violence and destroying the community? Did they say that or somebody else said that? And
no, the Haitians themselves, they are hostages in their own land because everything is so out of control. Whoever could get a couple of guns and round up a couple of people to follow them, decides that, well, we're going to take charge of this portion of this area over here, and we have license to do whatever we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're thugs.
To me, it sounds
You haven't answered the question.
No. That whole scenario sounds like a playbook from the agency's favorite playbooks. You said one.
Okay, even so, certainly you could appreciate the fact that there's something dramatically and organically very wrong here. And the Haitian people themselves are targeted with this kind of lawlessness and craziness that they have to live with. How is it, in your view, going to play out?
It is going to play out as it's supposed to play out, Eutrice. I don't know these people.
What is the answer? I'm looking for an answer. Give me a concrete answer.
No. Until I hear from these people, someone from that group making a statement in regards what they do. I mean, right now, as it stands, I support them. I support them in with the action that they're taking to liberate themselves and the country.
Oh, you what think this is liberation? Or do you think this is just a criminal enterprise of Haitians exploiting other Haitians and subjecting them to a kind of life that Haitians could not have imagined that their own people would do this to them?
Haitians been through, and perhaps maybe still going through, as you're suggesting, some tough times. Papa Duck and his son, remember that?
Yeah, you know.
These people went through times that we could never even imagine. And this was all sanctioned by this country.
That's a parallel that you're drawing, but that's not linked to what's happening now. The people who are doing this are just young thugs with guns, envisioning themselves as having decisions over life and death, who they will allow to live and who they will not allow to live. This is insanity.
Nobody seems
to be able to control it.
Eutrice, we know, or most of us know, that when the agency is doing stuff, these are the kind of stuff they do. They'll put you against one another in the twinkling
that
of an eye.
That does not address the question I'm asking.
No.
Whoever is orchestrating is still coming up with the same answer. You have a situation. It is reaching a climax now, and it doesn't look good. 17 people's lives are on the line, and it is all left to some guy with a gun and his minions. And they will decide whether they will allow the entire group to live or die, and they must collect $17 million as payment. What do you do?
What they always do, negotiate.
There's no negotiating going on. That's how I began this whole piece, that they have stated their demands. They're not changing those demands.
Mm-hmm.
They, in fact, have become more resolute and said, if we don't get this money, everybody dies.
Like I said, until I know more, I approve of the method that these people are using, because in a war is everything that is necessary to be done must be
done. These people are not equipped to conduct warfare.
No, they're not.
They have no guns. They don't know what they're doing. They're fantasizing that they know what they're doing. They're destroying their country. They're killing their own people. And nobody or no agency seems able to intervene. All right, well, you got us started on that particular subject, so I thank you. 888-874-4888.
Okay, Everlasting
from Alabama.
Yeah. Hi, Eutrice. How are you doing?
Yeah. Okay.
Excuse me?
It's fine. Okay. I will. Excuse me?
I'm sorry?
No, I really had called in to answer the first question, but I'll answer the one you just posed also. I mean, what I would do, first of all, give them the $17 million so to save their lives, and then we'll see what happens after that and go after that. But right now, what I would do, because like you said, they're serious, they're no negotiation, so give them the $17 million and get the people's lives back safe, and then we can go from there. That's what I would do.
What makes you think that they'll be safe, even if they give up the $17 million?
True, but that's the only chance you got. If you don't give the $17 million, they'll be killed, as they say. So at least you have a 50-50 chance of getting, you're right, no guarantee, but at least that's the only way that you know there's a possibility, because without giving up, they say they're going to kill them. So to give up
and
the $17
million. And what you would have done, what that would have accomplished, is it set a pattern.
Right.
You just need a couple of guys with guns. They'll take over a piece of territory, and then they start making demands for money. How does that end?
I agree with you, but what you said was, so just don't give them the money, let them kill the 17 people? Is that, you think that would, that's what I'm saying. I understand what you're saying.
I'm asking at this point, what is the most logical and effective thing to do?
Well, that's as far as my view. I'm saying I don't know everything, but to me that would be because, like I said, I don't know who knows what would be the definite logical thing to do. But at this point, something has to be done. And like I said, you're right. It might be setting the precedent or whatever, but if you don't give up the money, first thing I would do is say, the first thing would be more important to me was the lives of the 17 people first. That's just me. Then, like I said, we don't know what's going to happen in the future. Right? It might be setting a precedent and all that too, but right now the most important thing to me would be the lives of those 17 people.
What is it then that makes the lives of the 17 people more important than the actions of the bandits right now?
Well, to me would be that just the fact that we would have 17 lives alive. Because, of course, the actions of the bandits...
Are you being emotional or are you being clear about the precedent you will be setting if you take that course? Anybody could just wake up in the morning, go grab a bunch of people, put guns to their heads and say, you don't give me money, I blow all of them away.
Okay,
you just sparked an industry.
Okay, I understand what you're saying about the precedent. So there's only two things can happen. Either we try to make the precedent more important than the 17 lives, or the 17 lives more important than the precedent. It has to be one or the other. And that's
okay.
A matter of...
Which way are you leaning? Just the way you just said?
Right now, I would be leaning the 17 lives of the people. I could be wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying that's what I would be more interested in 17 lives of the people right now.
I'm just asking mm-hmm. what your gut reaction is. And then immediately, you know you have another problem on your hands.
I understand.
Because other groups noticing the effectiveness of this technique of negotiation will mimic mm-hmm. it. And you have a whole country involved in snatching people and threatening to kill them if somebody doesn't give them money. When does it stop?
Okay.
What will stop it?
Well, I don't know, but if we don't, I'm just saying, but to me, if you don't give them the money right now, the 17 people are dead. And then, like you said, possibly, like you said, but that will stop the precedent. We don't even know if that will stop the precedent, but we know the 17 people would be dead if they don't have to give up the cash. We know that for a fact. So based on what they're saying, you know. And here's the thing, too. Well, this is what I want to say right quick. With the thing with Letitia James, all I want to say with that is if you had someone like an Alton Maddox type attorney general,
but you don't have an Alton Maddox. The thing is, if the C's were one C, what a great C it would be, but we don't have it.
I know. I'm just saying that with these people that you have, just like you said, they go with the money. We need somebody to keep holding them accountable, this, that, whatever. Well, how do you hold them accountable? You hold them accountable by some type of action. But if these people go to jail first and then talk about the money.
Right now, Letitia James should not be in office. It's that simple.
Of course.
But you know why she's in office? Wait to see what she's going to do. You could predict Letitia James's actions for the next 10 years, right now.
You could predict a lot of their actions because they all basically work on the same thing. They all cooperate and they all take the money, just go get the money first and let the people go scot-free with no problem. But what I'm saying is that if someone, these people go to jail first and then the money, that would be a different situation. But like you said, you would teach James, all these people with no courage, or people hoop and holler about that they're so this and that. These people are just puppets. They're not trying to do anything but for themselves or who their constituents are.
There's a flip side to that coin, and it doesn't sit well with people when you raise that flip side. And that flip side is politics is about who has control. Do black people have control?
No, we don't. But we can take control.
Okay, then. All right, then.
You're right. We don't have control, but we know one thing. And I don't like to say, could this way, but say it. But we have let me put it like this way. We have the power to take control, but we don't have control.
Yeah.
But do we have the power to take control? Yes.
From your lips to God's ears, these things have been said time and again, but they continue to have no cash. Well, I hate to make the pun, but they have no value. Because black folks are just talking.
Right. Everybody. Right. I agree with you. But provided we get the courage, see, first of all, just talking is one thing, but we have to have the courage to, and sometimes, it's a hell of a thing having courage. You have to go up against a machine, but if you have the courage, the only way to prevail is to have the courage to do it. Like you said, we're talking loud. How James Brown said, talking loud and saying nothing.
Nothing. Thank you so much for your call today.
Okay.
888-874-4888. I'm asking about what's going to happen in Haiti. Predict it. Wayne from Brooklyn. Okay, Wayne isn't there. Gene from Maryland, you're on the air.
Thank you, Utrice, and good afternoon to you and the family.
Thank you, and good afternoon to you, too. Thank you so much.
So, Utrice, you said that there's no negotiating going on in Haiti. And I agree with you. I think Letitia James should be sent to Haiti to negotiate. Because clearly she gets it done.
And what would be the result of such negotiation, you think?
Well, I think we've seen the kind of history. And the real reason for my call is to point out that history. And, I think we're a little hard and a little rough on Letitia James for being a spineless wiggly worm when she is simply following the script that was provided to her. And I think
we cannot accept or continue to accept these mealy-mouthed kind of explanations for why people continue to do wrong.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm simply making the point that we saw this very dance a couple of years ago with Loretta Lynch when she and Lanny Brewer gave this wonderful press conference about why they were not going to prosecute the banks that got caught with the drug money down in Mexico. The script was already written. The act had been done. Loretta Lynch is simply following, and I'm sorry, Letitia James is simply following the lead of Loretta Lynch. It is the exact same playbook.
You see, you stop at that point, but you don't go any further. Make a conclusion. Okay, so following the leader. Okay, so now what?
Well,
what is the price for following that leader? That lead, sorry.
Yeah, that's actually a good question, but the answer has been given to us over and over. We are not meant to expect any kind of reasonable result behind it. And the fact that there is...
But I'm asking you, what is now to be understood as the result when you do things like that and you let these embarrassments become reality and that you have to live with? What do you do with people like that?
We can vote. We can vote them out. We can stop spending our money. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we could do. The real question is, what effect will that have? And I've said this before on the show, in the state of New York, the Democratic Party controls the primary process. So you're run up against a brick wall there. Nationally, there are significant roadblocks to being able to get the Democratic Party to do anything that we need them to do. And really, all you have to do is just watch Chuck Schumer and note how he is controlled.
See, I reject that argument. That's the old standby. Blame the Democratic Party. Blame this congressman. Blame that member of the Senate. No. We are the ones doing this, despite having umpteen examples of why this is that would be the wrong choice. We're the ones doing it. We are the ones continuing the farce.
That may be true, but your question still remains.
Maybe it is true.
Okay, you know, I'm accepting that. I'm conceding the point. But my question still remains is what to do about it that will be effective.
That's for the local people to decide. They have brains. They can figure it out. They can figure out what they need to do to make their point. If it is successful or if it is not, that's a whole other ballgame. But the fact is, we don't see, we don't see movement in the sense that people take what their interests are seriously. We just don't see that.
I still say that the length and breadth of this machine that is out here churning us all up and grinding us into dust is such that we get a Loretta Lynch who then does her dirt and goes away and is replaced by Letitia James, who's doing the same thing.
Because we permit it. We give it the okay.
This is becoming circular now because we've agreed that we permit it. But the question is what to do about it that will be effective.
That's, to me, it's not even the most important question right now is, do we have the guts to do something?
Well, but it has to be the most important thing. I mean, you yourself just pointed out that 500,000 people have died while she's negotiating.
But nobody has built a bridge between these major corporations, multi-billion dollar corporations, and the fact that people are dying on the street, literally. And most of them are people of color. That has not yet risen to the level of outrage.
Well, I think we're agreeing. I'm not sure that the color of the agreement is the same. But
I admire your tenacity and your flexibility, but you have yet to admit we substantially are the people to blame.
Again, I'm agreeing with you, but I'm simply saying that the machine has rendered us powerless and we haven't figured out how to deal with the machine.
And why shouldn't the, let me ask you, why shouldn't the machine seek to render us powerless? We have no great value to this machine. All the value that we have is to show up and, you know, flick that lever for such and such a candidate and go home. The machine doesn't have any expectations beyond that for us. And we, have no expectations of greater participation in the process than just the business of showing up and voting and going home.
I think the answer to your question really lies in the fact that, theoretically, we live in a land of law. Theoretically, there are rules and an order of operation that is supposed to be followed. Now, the machine has chosen to not deal with that. And we, as people, A, don't really understand the operation as it's being presented to us anymore because the rules aren't being followed and they're changed at will. And I think, secondly, we don't have a level of organization necessary to really be effective.
Tell us about what we don't have. We have numbers. We have the capacity to do things and create change.
Look at Georgia.
We have the ability
and you talk
to
about the numbers we have. Georgia has been neutralized.
No, it's, you're making it much bigger than it actually is. It's a very simple, straightforward formula. You want something done, you go get it done. You don't have to wait until people give you the signal that it's safe to do, or you could try it now. You either are committed to getting something done or you're not. But we confuse ourselves about how enormous, what an enormous job that is. How difficult it is. It isn't. None of that is difficult.
Okay. Well, I'll let it rest there.
All right.
Thank you for taking my call. Take care.
Thank you for calling. And that brings us to the end of our program today. You see, we have to see things as they are. And we tend to see things as other people causing strife in our life. No, most of the time, we're the ones doing it. We are the ones doing it to ourselves. So let's begin to focus on the contradictions. The Democratic Party isn't doing anything other than what it wants to do. And yet people are not protesting, saying, forget it, you're not getting my vote. We're starting a new party over here. But we won't do that. We instead complain and we make it so that they have all these nefarious plans. When have they not had nefarious plans? When? We got to toughen up and see the reality for what it is and plan from that perspective how we are going to persevere and overcome. Right now, we act like we are overcome, and we got to stop that. That's a bad habit. I thank you so much for the benefit of your thoughts, your analysis, and certainly your company. It's great. I appreciate you for it. Let's talk again tomorrow. Bye-bye.